Welcome to Falun Gong News, direct from China and around the world, from the Minghui website. This week's top stories include 2017 Year in Review, Increased Awareness of the Ongoing Persecution. Raising awareness worldwide, everyone should do something about the persecution. 66 Falun Gong cases returned in second half of 2017, resulting in release of 22 practitioners. News report exposes Chinese regime harassment of Falun Gong in Canada. Former government official in Henan to face indictment for his faith. And Denmark, students learn Falun Dafa in folkeskole. Now for the stories.
2017 Year in Review, Increased Awareness of the Ongoing Persecution. 2017 marked the 25th anniversary of Falun Dafa's introduction to the public. Over 10,000 practitioners gathered in New York City for a rally, parade, and experience-sharing conference. Tens of thousands of greetings were received by the Minghui website from practitioners and non-practitioners alike around the world, highlighting the physical and spiritual benefits they have gained from the practice. Numerous reports and statements from the United States and other nations demonstrated support for practitioners' perseverance in safeguarding basic human rights. Inside China, however, the suppression continues for the 18th year. More than 900 practitioners were sentenced to imprisonment for their belief, while lawyers have defended practitioners in over 500 trials. 42 practitioners lost their lives due to torture while in police custody. This triggered more Chinese to quit the Communist Party organizations and prompted additional global support for lawsuits against Jiang Zemin, the former communist leader, for persecuting Falun Dafa. In contrast to the severe persecution in China, numerous free workshops have been held around the world, and a large number of people have joined the practice around the world, from Europe and Asia to America. About 10,000 practitioners from 58 countries attended the 2017 New York Falun Dafa Experience Sharing Conference on Sunday, May 14, 2017, at Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York. Mr. Li Hongzhi, the founder of Falun Dafa, came onto the stage at around 2 p.m. to deliver a lecture and answer questions for about 2 hours. More than 12,000 New Year's greetings were received by Minghui in early 2017 from Falun Dafa practitioners and supporters worldwide. Greetings poured in from 31 provinces and municipalities in China and 28 countries covering North and South America, the Asia-Pacific area, and Europe. Some of the greetings were sent by groups of practitioners from exercise sites, some were sent by families of practitioners, and some were sent by individual practitioners. The U.S. 2016 report on international religious freedom was released at a press conference in Washington, D.C. on August 15, 2017. China is among the 10 countries of particular concern for its severe religious persecution. Taiwan recently denied entry to at least 3 Chinese officials who have been involved in the persecution of Falun Gong. The delegates led by the officials were also denied entry. Falun Gong cultivation practice has spread to more than 100 countries around the world. The main book, Juan Falun, has been published in over 40 languages.
Raising awareness worldwide, everyone should do something about the persecution. The holiday season is one of the busiest times of the year for Falun Gong practitioners around the world who volunteer to raise awareness about the practice and the persecution in China at tourist sites and city centers. This report covers recent events in Sweden, Japan, and Taiwan. Sweden. In the first weekend of 2018, Falun Gong practitioners held an event in downtown Gothenburg. They demonstrated the exercises, passed out materials, and collected signatures on a petition to condemn the persecution. Many people stopped at the Falun Gong activity to learn more. Some of them were interested in the exercises and learned the movements from the practitioners, while others were appalled by the brutality of the persecution and signed the petition. One gentleman said to practitioners after signing, "I support Falun Gong. I believe in God and that justice will prevail." Japan. Many Japanese go to temples on the first 3 days of the new year to worship and pray for blessings. During this time, Falun Gong practitioners in Tokyo collected signatures condemning the communist regime's crime of forced organ harvesting from imprisoned practitioners in China. More than 1,200 people signed the petition in 3 days. Many of them could not believe that forced organ harvesting could still be taking place in the 21st century. One Western tourist said to practitioners, "Forced organ harvesting is evil. There is no freedom of belief or speech in China. Everyone should do something. We should let more people know about the crimes of the Communist Party and put more pressure on them," he said. Taiwan. Recently, Taiwanese practitioners were happy to see that many tour guides at the Sun Yat-sen Memorial Hall have a good understanding of Falun Gong and have begun helping the practitioners to talk to the Chinese tourists. Tour guides often tell visitors from mainland China that Falun Gong practitioners are not getting paid to hand out materials, as the Chinese regime claims. One tour guide said to his Chinese guests, "I admire Falun Gong practitioners' spirit. They have the courage to tell the truth in the face of the persecution in China." He also encouraged his guests to quit the Communist Party. One tourist said, "Falun Gong is the hope of China. You are truly great."
"66 Falun Gong cases returned to prosecutors in second half of 2017, resulting in release of 22 practitioners. According to information compiled by the Mingwei website, a total of 66 Falun Gong practitioners had their cases returned in the second half of 2017, resulting in the release of 22 practitioners. These practitioners were arrested because they refused to renounce Falun Gong, a spiritual discipline being persecuted by the Chinese communist regime. Their cases were returned at various stages of the prosecution process. In China, police are responsible for making arrests and forwarding cases to the procuratorate, which is authorized to issue formal arrest warrants and file indictments. Trial courts are tasked with holding trials and issuing verdicts. Appeals courts review cases and decide whether to uphold or revoke the original sentences. 13 practitioners' cases had already been forwarded to their local courts, but the procuratorates that charged them requested to withdraw their indictment before trials took place. The courts approved the requests and returned the cases to the procuratorates. A male practitioner from Chengdu, Sichuan Province, was arrested in September 2015, and the local procuratorate twice returned his case to police. He was nevertheless indicted and sentenced to 3 years in prison in early 2017. He filed an appeal, and the local trial court rescinded his conviction in August 2017. Two female practitioners in Shaoyang County, Hebei Province, were arrested in March 2016 and tried in September 2016. The presiding judge admitted there was no legal basis on which to charge them. He approved the local procuratorate's request to withdraw its indictment on October 2017. Two residents of Hunan Province were arrested in October 2017 and remained incarcerated at Huahua City Detention Center. The vice head of the local domestic security office resubmitted the case, even though the local procuratorate had twice returned the case to police. Some practitioners were sentenced to prison after police resubmitted their cases. Two male practitioners from Guangshan County, Henan Province, were arrested in March 2017. They appeared in court in October and November and were recently sentenced to prison. The local court refused to reveal the sentencing terms to their families. Even though the local procurator had twice returned the cases of two sisters who were arrested in March 2017, the police refused to release them. They were eventually indicted and tried in November. Both were convicted in December to prison terms. They have filed appeals.
News report exposes Chinese regime harassment of Falun Gong in Canada. An article in the National Post on January 5, 2018 was titled, "Don't Step Out of Line, Confidential Report Reveals How Chinese Officials Harass Activists in China." The article exposed how the Chinese Communist Party has used its overseas agents to harass Canadian human rights activists, dissidents, and Falun Gong in particular. The article cited an example of the CCP's intimidation of a Canadian activist in a confidential report submitted to the federal government by a coalition led by Amnesty International Canada. The report catalogs harassment ranging from digital disinformation campaigns to direct threats. "This is not just a matter of occasional and sporadic incidents," said Alex Neave, Secretary General of Amnesty Canada, one of the organizations behind the report, along with groups representing Chinese religious, human rights, and ethnic minorities in the country. "There is a consistent pattern, a troubling example of a foreign government being very active in Canada in ways that are undermining human rights." The article pointed out that Falun Gong was among the few groups that continued to speak out despite the intimidation. Emails spreading false information about Falun Gong had been sent to members of parliament as recently as last month. The emails were purportedly from Falun Gong practitioners themselves, but according to organizer Grace Wallensack, they had nothing to do with the group, and clearly echo Beijing's propaganda campaign against it. "When the fake emails began to arrive a few years ago," says Wallensack, "they were easily traced to accounts in China. It's really an attempt to disparage the Falun Gong's followers," says MP Judy Seguro, who chairs a parliamentary friendship committee with the organization. Over the last decade or so, city councillors, mayors, and other politicians have certainly tried to quash Falun Gong commemorative events or protests, often under pressure from local Chinese consulates. The article also brought up the case of former Miss World Canada Anastasia Lin. After speaking to Canadian media about China's oppression of the Falun Gong, she was barred from the 2015 Miss World contest in Sanya, and says her father, still living in China, has been intimidated repeatedly by police. Lin also revealed to the Post that her pageant sponsor, a Toronto dress shop owned by a Chinese Canadian, dropped her after receiving an admonishing email from the local consulate.
Former government official in Henan to face indictment for his faith. Mr. Xu Xiang was home alone on September 21, 2017, when police broke in and seized him. His family was not informed of his arrest, and it wasn't until the third day that the local detention center called his sister upon his insistence. Mr. Wu's sister immediately went to check his home and saw the door still open and the whole house in a big mess. Mr. Wu was targeted because he refused to renounce Falun Gong, a spiritual practice being persecuted by the Chinese Communist regime. The 65-year-old man is now awaiting an indictment for his faith at Chiangcheng City Detention Center. This is not the first time that the former director of the Chiangcheng City Farm Equipment Bureau and an army veteran had been targeted for his faith. Mr. Wu was diagnosed with late-stage cirrhosis in 1996 and given at most 3 months to live. However, he made a full recovery soon after he started practicing Falun Gong. Mr. Wu's pursuit of health was disrupted when the persecution of Falun Gong began in July 1999. As a government official, he faced tremendous pressure to stay in line with the communist regime. To avoid implicating his family, he wrote a statement promising to renounce his faith. However, he still practiced Falun Gong in private. A subordinate later found out and reported him to police. More than a dozen agents descended on his home one winter night in 2001. They scaled the fence of his courtyard and pried open the door. Mr. Wu was not in. The police yanked his wife, children, and a one-year-old grandson out of their beds. The young and old, with only pajamas on, were ordered to stand by the door. A police officer brandished his gun and demanded to know where Mr. Wu was. His wife was terrified and revealed that her husband was in his hometown caring for his mother. The police soon arrived at his mother's home to arrest him, ignoring the elderly woman's plea to not take her son away. Mr. Wu was held in a local hotel for over 2 weeks. His wife saw him handcuffed to a chair when she went to deliver food to him. He said he had been tortured during interrogations. Upon learning of Mr. Wu's latest arrest, many locals were baffled why such a good person had to pay a dear price for simply trying to improve his mind and body by practicing Falun Gong.
Denmark. Students learn Falun Dafa in Folke School. When a practitioner in Copenhagen, Denmark, called a teacher during the holiday to wish him a Happy New Year, the teacher excitedly said, "Our kids liked learning the exercises very much. Could you come back and help more students learn?" This teacher had invited several practitioners to teach the Falun Dafa exercises to 2 ninth grade classes in the Folke School public school system during the previous semester. 45 students learned the exercises, and the response was very positive. More teachers and students heard about it and were interested in learning the meditation system, which improves mind and body. This time, the practitioners visited 3 seventh grade classes, totaling over 70 students and teachers. They first played an introductory video in which a few practitioners told their own stories about the physical and spiritual benefits of Falun Dafa. The audience watched attentively and were eager to give it a try. After playing the exercise instruction video by Mr. Li Hongzhi, the founder of Falun Dafa, two practitioners performed an exercise demonstration. Marco explained in Danish step by step and corrected the movements for some of the students and teachers. He explained that consistent with traditional Chinese culture, Falun Dafa practitioners follow the principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance. He shared his experience of how to apply the principles in daily life. During a subsequent discussion, many students said that they agreed with these principles. One student said, "If we can follow these principles with everyone we meet, either at home or at school, this world will be a much better place." A practitioner presented a slideshow after the exercise instruction, which described how the Chinese Communist regime was suppressing the group during the past 18 years, along with the global support received to help stop the persecution. At the end of the event, the practitioners gave each student and teacher a handmade paper lotus flower with a bookmark containing the words truthfulness, compassion, forbearance. A practitioner explained that the lotus flower represents happiness and purity, and we practitioners constantly improve our mind nature just like lotus flowers maintain their beauty while rising from mud. The students were very impressed and also took Falun Dafa pamphlets to their parents. Upon leaving, the practitioners said farewell to the teacher who organized the event and gave her a copy of the book Falun Gong. The teacher thanked them and said it was a very meaningful day for her and the students. Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.